Welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast, friends. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, coming to you from the basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado.
The bunker.
Bill Jack also in studio. And
it's, you know, it's really good to, it's like a warm blanket. It's like a bowl of oatmeal that my mom used to make.
It is.
It's good to be back with you.
I turned the heater on for you, too.
You did?
I did, yeah.
But you put it across the room.
I did,
so
right
only
next to me.
You can get it.
Right next to me, yep.
Yeah.
Folks, you just need to understand it's kind of a cold bunker in the middle of winter.
Even though it's going to be 60s today.
Is it?
Yeah. Nice. We may set another record.
Nice.
Yeah.
Global warming.
Yep.
Okay. Well, friends, back to the Grammys. You remember the 2014 Grammys?
My Grammy used to make me
direction.
Oatmeal. Oh, you're talking about something
about the music Grammys.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. In 1959, Song of the Year, Johnny Horton's Battle of New Orleans. Okay? I mentioned that last year.
You did.
1959, Song of the Year was Jimmy Driftwood's Battle of New Orleans. Yeah. In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. Remember
Mississippi.
That?
I do, because I was alive at the time.
Yes, you were.
Not during the Battle of New Orleans, but
right.
during the song.
Right. But fast forward to 2014, they're doing an orgy fest. Homosexual weddings. Oh, like 50 weddings.
Yeah, that's like 23 couples or something like that.
Presided over by a lesbian priestess.
Yeah.
And then
Queen Latifah.
And then it seems like Katy Perry did her little satanic horse dance or whatever it was. So it was a satanic orgy fest. 2014.
It was church. It was church because in the backdrop of that marriage, supposed marriage ceremony where Queen Latifah pronounced them to be couples by the authority invested in her by the state of California.
Uh huh.
Okay. All the backdrop would change gradually to stained glass windows.
Right,
and
right.
Macklemore.
To remind us
yeah.
that it's all religious.
Yeah, it is.
Everything's religious.
It is.
It just depends on the religion.
That's right.
Now, some people worship Satan.
Yeah.
Other people worship the true and living God and repent of their sins and trust in Jesus Christ.
And
so there's different religions out there. Sometimes we got to give people the heads up because people think, in America, they think if it's religious, it's got to be Christian.
Yeah.
Actually, there's more religions in the world than Christianity. There's probably thousands of them.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's move to the 2015 Grammys. Did not watch it. You saw part of it.
I did watch it because I was fascinated by how they did it last year. There's a theme that runs through every one of these Grammys recently. And the theme last year was the homosexual same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
And Macklemore, Same Love.
Yeah.
Was the song. Now this year I was just watching it and the theme that ran through it, this was another church service.
Mm-hmm.
It was brilliantly produced.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Beyonce, who was up for Artist of the Year or something like that, or Song or Album of the Year, she was featured singing Hold My Hand, Precious Lord. And it was introduced by whoever introduced her by saying, you know, this is a song that was sung to her when she was a child by her mother.
And she has a Christian background.
Yeah, the Destiny's Child.
Right, with the early band.
Yes, she was a part of a trio, I think.
Formed out of the idea of a verse in Jeremiah. So
Isaiah, Destiny's Child.
And the song, her mother sang it to her. So just like Katy Perry, raised in a Christian home by Christian pastor
it's
parents,
fascinating.
Same things happening here. And yet what we get is this interesting synthesis between the old faith and the new apostasy. The Song of the Year went to Sam Smith, Stay With Me.
Yeah, but here's the interesting thing. You had the old guard last year, Madonna. You know, she was part of that same-sex marriage tribute and celebration. She was again featured this year. Here's a 50-plus-year-old woman cavorting around on stage, okay, skimpily dressed, and her backup dancers are all dressed like the goat. They have the goat horns.
The goat thing going.
Yeah,
right.
The satanic goat horns.
Mm-hmm.
That is the old direct attack on Christianity.
Well,
the new attack is much more subtle with Beyonce. Because here's Beyonce singing, Hold My Hand, Precious Lord, beautifully done.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, in the background, her dancers are holding their hands up in the now popular Ferguson tribute, Don't Shoot, Hands Up, tribute to Michael Brown.
Mm-hmm.
That was the theme that ran through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have that coupled with the Song of the Year, which went to
Sam Smith.
Yeah, Stay With Me.
Stay With Me. And I didn't realize this. Now, the song is all about a one-night stand.
Yes, it's more than that.
I'm not good at one-night stands, but I still need love because I'm just a man. This ain't love. It's clear to see. Why am I so emotional? No, it's not a good look. Gain some self-control. Won't you stay with me because you're all I need? Won't you stay with me because you're all I need?
It's a haunting, haunting melody, and he sings it beautifully.
All based in a one-night stand. And the piece that most people don't understand is that he's a homosexual.
In his acceptance speech, he said something to the effect that this song is the result of a man rejecting me.
Yeah.
And I wrote this, and I didn't think it would get this far. But this song is the result of that.
It's a homosexual one-night stand.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the next day on Ellen, he reveals that again, that mm-hmm. it was the result of being rejected by a homosexual lover, and this was his song.
Another big nominee was Take Me to Church.
Oh, Take Me to Church by Hozer.
Right.
Okay.
My lover's got humor. She's the giggle at a funeral. Knows everybody's disapproval. I should have worshipped her sooner.
Yes.
And it moves on to worshipping her because of worshipping sexuality.
Yes.
It's the worship of sexuality, and it's out of the closet.
The lyrics are really fascinating because they play off the tradition of church.
Yes, yes.
They play off the language.
Amen. I'll worship like a dog at the shrine of your lies. I'll tell you my sins, and you can sharpen your knife. So there's confession there. Good God, let me give you my life.
My church offers no absolutes.
Yes, right.
In other words, no boundaries for the sex act.
No masters, no kings. I am human. Only then am I clean. Amen, amen, amen. So probably one of the most self-conscious humanist songs ever in the history of popular music.
Other than Frank Sinatra's...
My Way.
My Way.
Right, right.
This is Frank Sinatra's My Way updated and including now the perverse.
And Hozier himself said it's essentially about sex. So he just said, this is it. It is the assertion of self. So it's, you know, we're out of the closet. We're worshiping sex. We're worshiping ourselves. It's an attack on anybody who opposes homosexuality or any sexual orientation at all. So if anybody opposes anything, any kind of bestiality or any kind of incest or fill in the blank, this song is directed against you. This is our religion, and we are against anybody who wants to curtail any type of sexual decadence.
And the beauty of their strategy, if you want to say that, Jesus said the children of this world are very wise. And they are, because both of these songs, Stay With Me and Take Me to Church, have haunting, addictive, if you will, melodies. They stick in your mind. I mean, if I could sing it for you right now because it's just so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But it says, and this is what Hozer said, Take Me to Church is essentially about sex, but it's a tongue-in-cheek attack at organizations that would undermine humanity mm-hmm. by successfully teaching shame about sexual orientation.
Yeah.
So he is cracking the door wide open on this whole thing through music. Through the mainstream media.
Pagans have almost always used sexuality as a form of their religious ritual.
Yes.
They've always had it there. You know, your temple prostitutes is common in some of those pagan lands.
And it's the what we talked about when a show or two ago. It's the Matrix thing. It's the sacred sex, sacred dance, sacred death.
Mm-hmm.
Those three things form pagan worship.
But here's something very, very interesting. You still have Beyonce singing, and she's, I think, pretty much known as the prostitute of the pop music scene.
Her husband has done that to her.
Yeah.
He, in his videos with her, it's almost porn. It's soft porn.
Yeah.
And
yet,
then they dress her in a white gown.
Yep.
And they have her sing this.
Yeah. And here we are. It's perfect synthesis. We are on the high places. And we have invited Baal and Yahweh into the worship. So this is
America. Rome. This is Rome.
This is Rome. This is what Isaiah and Jeremiah were speaking of for two-thirds of their books.
So isn't it interesting that you got Destiny's Child taken from a verse in Isaiah, and then we see what happened in Isaiah, what Isaiah was prophesying against happening in our culture.
The glorification of fornication, the glorification of homosexuality. Every form of quote unquote sexual orientation, all that's there,
and it's a church service. This was a church service. While I was watching that, I'm going, hey, Take Me to Church is not just a song. This is what this is, because in Pharrell Williams' song, in which he performed live, Happy, he performed a version. In Beyonce's song, Take Me, you know, Hold My Hand, Precious Lord. And in the last song of the evening, which was the theme song from the movie Selma, it's called Glory. All the dancers in the background dancers, held their hands up in the symbol that has now come to be "Don't Hands Up, Don't Shoot," mm-hmm. which is based on a myth of Michael Brown, mm-hmm. the young man who was killed mm-hmm. by the police officer. Mm-hmm. He was shot as he attacked the police officer. That is now a well-known fact. But the myth that circulated was he held his hands up and said, "Hands up, don't shoot." Mm-hmm. And so now we've got a church service with their own mythology. We've got the church service with a blending of all the different music, mm-hmm. and it is now promoting a new mythology.
And the phrase they use at the end, glory, glory, we all get the glory.
Yes.
Meaning that God will not get the glory. There is no one God. There is no one. There are multiple gods. We're all gods. We do whatever we want to do, and we have self-defined ourselves, and we get the glory.
Yeah.
This is just the opposite of the Christian religion, and it's coming out of the closet now. You think about it, Bill. This wasn't what they were doing in 1959 when Jimmy Driffin gets Son of the Year, right? This isn't what they were doing. It's just now America is self-conscious of the American religion. Remember the magazine Self magazine?
Yeah.
You know, it's all about being your own selfish pig. Well, America now clearly believes in self and worships sex. That's what America
and
is
we,
all about.
And we want the glory. This is contrary to everything that Martin Luther King spoke about.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is a perversion. I don't care what you think of him. It's a perversion of what he preached. It's a perversion of the movement, of the civil rights movement. This glory thing is that we're going to get the glory. And it says, when it go down, we women and man, we woman and man stand up. They say, stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up, King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up. Now, that's not what Martin Luther King said. That's not his message. His message was that we should judge a person not by the color of his skin, but by his character. Let's judge Michael Brown's character. Not by the color of his skin, but it has been turned on its head. Everything has been turned on its head. They call evil good and good evil, and they blend it with "Hold My Hand, Precious Lord."
And let's face it. When she sings "Take My Hand, Precious Lord," she's talking to Christian in 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just say it. I know that's controversial, but she's on the high place. She's embraced the Baal. And she's worshiping sex.
Yeah.
And she sings, "Take My Hand, Precious Lord." She's referring to her homosexual lover. She's not referring to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who's going to judge all the earth and bring all his wickedness to account at the final day of judgment and cast it all into hell forever. No, she doesn't speak to that. She doesn't believe in that. She's talking to the sex goddess and the sex god.
See, and that's where Scripture, 2 Timothy 4, says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. I believe it's in 2 Timothy 4. Okay. They have this form of godliness. They have this symbolism, this church service, but they deny the power of the living God, and they want the glory.
Yeah.
And that's what, and again, These are excellent artists.
Mm-hmm.
They are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
When you do a live performance on TV, most of the time you're out of tune, you're flat.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, Hoser and Annie Lennox did a duet, and it was powerful. But again, it was a church service. It was an emotional draw to get you to come out of yourself and to worship something else. Now, the problem is they didn't worship the true creator. They worshiped the creation. They worshiped the creature rather than the creator.
Well, they do have incredible, unprecedented influence over billions of people around the globe, certainly hundreds of millions around America, and it's very, very difficult for little Pastor Jimmy Smith to compete with that in Nowhereville, Oklahoma, with the young youth that are, you know, enjoying the Grammys and listening to the top 40 pop stations the rest of the week. Very, very difficult, but we ought to believe the Word of God is powerful, and it will impact, and the power of the gospel will affect those who hear it.
That's what sets people free.
It does. It does. We'll be back in just a moment with more on culture, friends. Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack, also in studio. The mark of a good father, according to Jesus in Matthew 7:11, is that he knows how to give good gifts to his children. He would not give his child a stone or a serpent. He would give him that which is nutritious and helpful. Now, Christian parents, if you're like me, you are constantly on the search for good gifts for your children. You're probably tired of cheap China junk and expensive toys that break within a month or two. That's why the Generation staff has spent the last 6 months scouring magazines, checking out samples, interviewing Christian parents, and identifying the very best books for our children. We look for creative presentations, substantive messages, biblical integrity, identifiable characters, and riveting stories. We have sponsored a child picture book contest called Nurturing Little Hearts, and we begin to publish the very best of children's books over the next year or two. But find good gifts for your children. That's a really good thing. We have an entire new section of children's book selections at our website for good gifts that you can get for your kids. Find it at generationswithvision.com. That's generationswithvision.com. Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you. And there are some incredibly powerful people in the cultural world. Just talk about that. By God's providence, they have been endowed with power, influence over the minds of hundreds of millions, if not billions of people around the globe. But it's not just in pop cultures. Other areas in which it happens, politics, science, etc. It's just we live in a world in which people control. There are those who have incredible control over powerful, powerful systems. For one thing, these powerful systems have been centralized in governmental and cultural machines. But here, I'm going to ask you a question here, Bill. You know, 20th century, most dangerous person. A guy who's responsible for the most deaths in the 20th century.
Okay. Mao?
Mao Zedong.
Yep. In China.
Yeah, now he's responsible for about, what, 60, 80 million. That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's
maybe.
A lot. But no, I'm not thinking of him. No.
Okay. Stalin.
Nope.
Who was his
20 million? That was
his mentor. Okay. His mentor. So okay.
Yeah.
Pol Pot was only 2 million.
Pol Pot was 2 million
in Cambodia.
Whoa.
I got this one. I know this one. Because Hitler was with a total of 55 million as a result of World War II. But there's one that's we've already surpassed Hitler.
Yeah.
Okay. And we've done it here in the United States.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the guy.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
You ready for the guy?
Here it is.
You missed it so far. Guy responsible for most deaths in the last century, Carl Giassi.
Crickets. Carl Giassi.
Carl Giassi.
Yeah. Household name.
Yeah. He just died. He's 91 years of age.
What did he do?
An article in Time Magazine on him.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Carl Giassi.
I don't
even know who Carl Giassi. What's wrong with you?
I've been living in the bunker.
Yeah, apparently so. Carl Giassi is responsible for the birth control pill.
Yeah,
billions. Affected the lives of billions of people around the globe. In fact, I've done some analyses of the overall birth rates and death rates, and you'll find that the birth rate halved worldwide since 1960, meaning that a fair number. It's hard to know exactly the percentage, but at least 7 billion people are not alive today, or they died as a result of this incredibly powerful pill.
Wow. Because you know,
that's
when
would you say that's influence? If you had influence over 7 billion people,
wow,
that's influence. That's even more influence than Katy Perry.
That's more influence than Hitler. Because when I was thinking of Hitler, it was 55 million. We surpassed that in abortions.
Germany. It's like in Germany.
Yeah, but we surpassed that in abortions recently.
Time magazine brings this out. This guy died at 91 years of age, and here's the article. Quote from Time magazine, arguably, this guy gave women more freedom than the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
By giving us control of our bodies and reproductive decisions, the pill revolutionized our economic and sexual lives. So, yeah.
Man, so Time magazine lauds him as
as
being better, as giving more liberty,
freedom. More freedom. Now, we need to talk about freedom.
Yeah, what do you mean by freedom?
Yeah, where's my dictionary? Let's go to the Bible first.
Before you
go to the dictionary, would you grab that Bible for a second? Yeah, yeah. Just go there for a second. Look up freedom.
Freedom.
Or free, and you're going to find in John 8, if the Son will make you free, you will be free indeed.
Romans 6:20 says, when you were slaves to sin.
Oh, boy. Now, there's a reference.
There you go. You were free from the control of righteousness.
Right. See, the assumption in this article is that freedom is freedom from having children, freedom from the bondage of marriage, freedom to have sex in every and all contexts. That is freedom as defined by Carl Gerasi, Time magazine, and all of their ilk. The freedom to kill a child if he gets in your way, if he cramps your style.
Let's make it in context, if she gets in your way.
Either way.
Because if this is for women, what about those who are unborn women?
Sure, yeah. If she gets in your way, you kill her.
Yeah.
If you've got to use the ultimate abortifacient effect of that pill in order to stop that implantation, man, you make it happen, Captain.
This is the high worship of Baal.
That's the highest.
It's Moloch.
Freedom. That's the highest. It's Moloch, yeah. The offering of the children to Moloch, yeah.
Yeah.
In the book of Ezekiel, God says, how dare you offer my children to Moloch? How dare you? How dare you? Okay, so the assumption is...
Carl Gerasi is his name?
The assumption is if you get freedom from the dependence on husbands, you will enjoy absolute economic freedom. And, of course, as we all know, freedom from the dependence on the husbands turn out to be freedom, no freedom at all because dependence upon the state anyway. And
I'm sniffing out a conspiracy here.
There's faux freedom here. Yeah.
That the state wants this so that they can exercise control.
Yeah, ultimately that's what kind of happens. Yeah. That's what happens. And that's why, of course, birth control must be paid for by your tax dollars.
Birth control.
Okay, and in terms of history, it was October 15th, 1951, when Carl Gerasi developed the progesterone pill in Mexico City. It was an obscure lab in Mexico City. He brought it to market in 1962. As it turns out, he wasn't the only guy. It's actually just two men, Carl Gerasi and Gregory Pincus, the two guys. Gregory Pincus started working on it after Carl Gerasi developed it, but... The Sanger-Pincus pill made it to the market in 1957.
Sanger?
Margaret Sanger. I didn't mention Margaret Sanger, did I? Margaret Sanger was the one who got behind the implementation of it and fought for the political freedom, quote-unquote, to free all these women from their husbands and from sexual constraints and from having children and giving them ability to kill as many kids as possible. That was Margaret Sanger's commitment, of course, early
who
on.
Who was a proponent and a supporter of Hitler's
eugenics program.
Ding.
Yep.
She just transferred to the United States
she
and
did.
She distanced herself from Hitler's because it was politically incorrect at the time.
Yep. So it was Carl Gerasi that first developed the birth control, the modern birth control pill. And to this date, friends, we have no idea how many billions of children have been killed by this pill, by the effects, the abortifacient effects of the pill. And Carl Gerasi dead at 91 years of age. He's now going to meet his maker.
Wow.
Okay.
He's going to be at the head of the line, and Hitler and Stalin and Mao and Pol Pot will be standing behind him. In fact, you know, there's going to be one person in front of him.
Who's that?
Margaret Sanger.
Yeah, she'll be right there. Yep. Because she was the cheerleader. Everybody knows she. These guys are the scientists.
They were the pawns,
and
she was the queen.
She got the funding for it.
Yep.
She obtained the funding. She actually worked with the Eleanor Roosevelt in order to pull this off.
So and, now Planned Parenthood, her legacy is the largest provider of abortions in the world.
Right, receiving over
funded by us.
Over $500 million per year from our tax monies. All right. Before we're done, one more article I want to touch on, because I think this speaks something to what's happening with our culture. We talked a little bit about what's happening with the women. Now here's what's happening with the men. Turns out video games affect marriage. A sobering article came out of Focus on the Family just a week or two ago. It discusses that 15% of wives filing for divorce this year cited their husband's play of video games as the primary cause.
Wait. Is it because the wives are getting beaten by the husbands?
No.
It's male dominance in video games? That's what it is, right? Tell me that's what it is.
No, it's because they're seeking escape.
Oh, so they're not including the wives in the game.
Yep. Men seek escape. They're taking one of the 10,000 escape ramps off the highway of reality in the postmodern age.
You know why? Because we no longer have heroes. Because men have been so feminized in the culture that they have to seek escape to find adventure and to be the man that they're called to be. And this is a false deal again.
Men are lacking vision, lacking purpose, lacking focus. Lacking any meaning for life, something beyond getting to the 37th level, some stupid game. You know, I heard of pastors' wives of really pretty decent churches complaining that their husbands are spending too much time in front of the video game. It's all over the place.
It's foreign to me because my thumbs don't work well.
Yeah.
My thumbs don't really work well on the controller, so I haven't gotten into that.
Yeah. And I keep thinking, wow, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Seems to me we got some more important war going on than whatever's happening on the 37th level of some stupid game. Can't you imagine, I've thrown this scenario out before, can't you imagine at Helm's Deep, the Battle of Helm's Deep in the Two Towers? Can't you see, you know, they're up against 10,000 orcs and what a handful of these men fighting right there at the edge of Helm's Deep, trying to, you know, keep the women and children protected. Imagine this 32-year-old pastor in the cave playing the game Helm's Deep. Playing the game Helm's Deep. The game itself, Helm's Deep.
Yeah.
You know, it's been developed.
All right.
Ahead of time. So he's playing Helm's Deep.
And he wins.
And he's winning.
Yeah.
He's winning. Now, let's see, what's wrong with this picture? He's playing Helm's Deep. As these guys are engaging the real war of Helm's Deep against 10,000 orcs,
you just
trying to keep everybody alive.
This is twisting my head.
This is
a fantasy inside of a fantasy.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
And we've denied reality on so many levels.
In the process,
to the 37th level, we've denied reality.
See, the problem with men is their brains are exploded and they don't have a clue of the spiritual issues. The physical issues, the fact that billions of kids are being murdered everywhere. If you want to look at problems, child sex slavery. Okay, there's one. Go after that. There are bad guys out there. Get involved in Joy International. We interviewed that guy a couple of months ago, and we're all getting behind him. By the way, we're going to do a barefoot mile to support this. There's so many things happening, and yet there's so many men that don't want to engage. They want to deny the antithesis. They don't want to believe that there is such a thing as good and evil. There's a battle between right and wrong. And they typically...
You know what it is? I think they feel so overwhelmed by the reality around them that they feel that the only way they can cope with this is to escape.
Maybe a lack of faith.
And it is
a lack of faith. I mean,
do something.
At some point,
do something.
Go do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold, be calm.
This guy in this article, he's blogged on the issue. He says a couple of things. There's a lot of self-centeredness here. He says, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. He says, if you can't control your addiction to leisure now, you won't be able to do it under the responsibilities of marriage. So if you're a young person, you're not married, then remember that. You're also seeking fake approval and success. Men were wired to seek respect, but when we're trying to seek it in this game, stupid game, you know, where you think you're getting some approval and some respect, it's false impression.
Now, isn't that interesting that we seek respect? We want respect, but if you seek it, you don't get it.
Yeah. Okay?
It's you have to have a goal. You have to have a project. You have to have a quest, and then that results in respect.
Yeah.
You don't go after respect. You go after your goal, and then you get respect.
And I think it's has something to do with identity because, you know, one of the things I've on this special diet, which has given me way more energy, is I hated the diet. You know,
I
went after all my idols.
You don't even sit in your chair anymore.
I had all these food idols.
Yeah.
You know, so it went after all my idols. So what I'm really coming down to is the thing that enables me to the self-discipline, self-discipline such, is that I realize that I'm the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a very important role here, and I want to be a good servant.
You're a priest and a king, it says.
I am, and I want to be faithful to the Lord who bought me. And if I just waste my life on these idols, food, entertainment, fill in the blank, it's counterproductive to my role, to who I am, to my identity.
Mm.
Identity is where it begins. I'm the son of the living God. I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a wonderful servant for me and gave his life, his blood for me and for my sin on that cross. I want to take up a cross. I want to follow him. And if that cross involves, okay, denying myself certain foods, certain entertainments, I'm going to do it, Bill. And my chiropractor is saying, wow, you know, you've had a lot of discipline. That's kind of unusual. I said, yeah, I've got the discipline because I'm the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to follow through on this. And the ultimate, this guy makes his point in this article, the ultimate reward is your master telling you, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
And that's joy.
Yeah.
That's joy. Now, we don't seek joy. Joy is a byproduct of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
It's obedience to the one who bought us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're obedient to him, there will be joy, even in the midst of persecution,
yeah,
even in the midst of denial, yeah, of certain appetites.
Yes.
There is joy. Joy, yeah, is not the goal. Obedience is the goal. Joy is the byproduct.
Yeah.
There are so many benefits to following God's word.
Amen. All right, folks. Well, that wraps it up. We take a look at culture, video games, pop music, and the birth control.
Hey, take me to church. No, don't think so.
Let's go to the real church.
Let's go to the real church.
The church of the living God.
Yes, and we're talking to him.
That's right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. I trust this has been fruitful for you. Please stay tuned to us and get your friends and family members to tune in to this broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson with Bill Jack, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a mission for the next generation.